This is episode 14 of Store and Forward, a podcast about the past and future of amateur radio. I am Kay Savitz, K6KJN. I am the curator of the Digital Library of Amateur Radio and Communications, and I am here with.
I am Steve, NHGNJ, and I am the editor of the Zero Retries newsletter.
Happy New Year, Steve.
Happy New Year, Kay. So, there was a great cartoon. I don't think I sent it to you, but you'd appreciate it. There was an image of a three-panel cartoon of a cat sitting on a table with an image of 2025 sitting on it, and it looked at it, and then it
Knocked
knocked
it
it off.
off.
Perfect.
Perfect.
2025 was had some interesting, good things happen, but I'm happy to see it fade into the past.
Yeah, I'm ready for something new for sure.
Amen.
Looking forward to good things in 2026.
Well, let's see. One of the highlights for me was the Zero Retries Digital Conference in September. That had been a long time dream of mine to do a conference, kind of exactly the way I wanted it, and didn't turn out to be exactly what I wanted, but boy, was it close. And it was just so thrilling to be sitting in the audience as you and many other speakers. Told me about the things that I really cared about, and really highlighted, as I tried to explain, highlighted not just those specific subjects, but an illustration of the incredible technological innovation that is going on in amateur radio right now that most people just don't know about. There's an interesting twist to this that I'll get to at later. That kind of makes things a little more interesting in 2026. So
Well, okay. Well, I
that
was
was a
going to ask
highlight for
if
me.
is it now that you did your dream of hosting a conference, are you going to do it again? Now that you've done the work, and I mean,
Yes,
I was
we
there for a tiny amount of the work, just stuffing stuff into bags before the day before the show. I mean, and that took hours, and that was just, I'm sure, a tenth of a percent of the effort.
It really consumed us for most of the year, especially Tina. And one of the things that that didn't go as planned was we sent a bunch of invitations out to academic institutions, but got very little response. And by the time we got spun up on that, probably in August, it was too late. So we really have to. For ZRDC 2026, we have to get spun up much earlier in the year to get it. And we were in talks with a conference, another conference, to kind of put ZRDC at their venue. That I don't know if that's going to come to fruition or not. It's not looking good because they just haven't stepped up to. With a positive response, and we have to get going. So, yes, there will definitely be another ZRDC. We don't know where, when. It probably won't be in September. We learned our lesson that September is this cursed month for, people doing their last gasp vacations and academia, and it's just a perfect storm of reasons why you can't attend a conference. It's
Sure.
the, you
If
know.
you're in academia or going to school, you're either in school or really thinking about getting back into that situation and
So it'll probably be, we're like, it's most likely to be sometime in October. I think that'll work out good.
Nice.
But it was a great experience, and it was a lot of work, but it really paid dividends, and we keep hearing about the ripple, minor ripple effects from it. There were a lot of interesting connections made at the conference. We learned a lot. And we're probably going to do a better job of making it a hybrid event, so the remote participants can participate more fully instead of just watching. And it's, and it's finally, and all the results are finally available fully public on the ZRDC page and now on YouTube. That was interesting. YouTube is one of those things, probably like eBay, that seem more formidable at, upfront than really are, and so it took me all of about 3 hours to really understand YouTube and start the Zero Retries YouTube channel, which is really nice. So that's another thing I can talk about a little bit later for 2026. So
Nice.
what was your main highlight of 2025?
I think the highlights as far as DLARC went were getting the grant renewal from ARDC so we can continue working on DLARC for another couple of years. And we scanned three quarters of a million pages in 2025 of ham radio newsletters and manuals and other documents. And that's always satisfying to see that number,
Yeah.
I mean, 750,000 pages. That's material that had never been available online before, and now it's there for everyone to download, and it's fully full text searchable. And I think that man, that's real satisfying to me. Yeah, and that doesn't even account, the audio that we digitize and the CD-ROMs and the video the reel to reel tapes and all the other weird, formats. Pages, it's easy to count and easy to quantify.
I think one of the weirdest ones in the that was fun was seeing the Pernell Roberts clip from Trapper John MD talking about ham radio.
Right.
That
Yeah.
was fun.
Yeah.
So there's supposed there's a video that was done by who's the Walter Cronkite. Who was a famous ham, and the ARRL sponsored that, and they had no idea what the restrictions were going to be because Cronkite was, under some contract that he wouldn't, after he retired from CBS News, he wouldn't do anything public anymore. So this very meticulously produced video was only available to be shown at like club meetings and things like that. The ARRL was absolutely crushed that they couldn't, give it to do public service spots on, TV, et cetera. It could never be broadcast. It could only be, shown privately. So, there's stuff like that still
That's
out
probably
there.
why I haven't seen it.
I saw it once, and it was it, they were very jealous about distributing it. Like you had to, they sent you a videotape, with strong admonitions not to copy it because it couldn't get out from their control, for fear of being sued by CBS, the kind of stuff. So you had to promise not to make dupes of it, and you had to send it right back and things like that. So, yeah. So anyway, I am just constantly in awe of all the treasures that you've, poured into DLARC, and I subscribe to the RSS feed, and it constantly overflows the max number of articles that I can see on that RSS feed, and I just sometimes dip into it, and you're constantly discovering new newsletters, which is fascinating.
Yeah, they keep making them. Today being January 2nd, it means that the beginning of the month is every month is newsletter season for me. And I just get a ton of newsletters from all around the globe and ham radio newsletters and add them all in. And so that's my thing.
What was the biggest score of, in previous years? It was fair radio sales and the documents and Coop's, satellite, Bob Cooper's satellite cache and that sort of stuff. So what was it for 2025?
Oh, that's a great question, and I don't know if I have a good answer. It was just, I mean, I am really proud. I'm really proud of the work that I did in finding and getting online the Packet Radio temporary notes. These were documents that were passed around about the early development of Packet Radio, and when people were just literally figuring out like how can we make Packet Radio work in the 70s and 80s. And these documents were never officially published, but they were passed around people in the group, and I worked real hard and found many of them, and got them online, and so we have this Packet Radio history that we that I got online. Not all of them. There's still actually quite a lot more to find, but finding any at all was kind of amazing to me. So that was a big one for me. And just kind of the grinding on moving forward on getting many, many manuals and newsletters scanned and online. It's not real. I don't know. It's not a big. It was just a lot of little things just kept going, and that's how we got the 750,000 things scanned.
Agreed. So I constantly am dipping back into DLARC and, for reference material, when as I write zero retries, because so many times what we've done, about the only thing that really breaks new ground in this era is software-defined radio. That is a new technology that wasn't in existence, in the 20th century. Well, it not so much in amateur radio, anyway. But other than that, I mean, it just constantly amazes me that I discovered yet another project to create a new TNC from scratch. And this is like it's almost as in parallel with creating your own QRP CW HF radio, but everybody has an idea and they want to do it, and so they create new TNCs. It's just funny, not to disparage it at all. It's just amazing. You would think, it would have been done to death, just like QRP rigs, but nope. Everybody just keeps, there's a constantly new ideas to try out. So, yeah.
And that I don't remind the another thing that I'm really proud of that we added last in 2025 was all the AMSAT stuff.
Oh,
We
yeah.
got permission to add everything that AMSAT has ever published. So we have their newsletters that were published in the 80s and 90s. All their magazines, the AMSAT Journal and the AMSAT satellite, the amateur satellite report, and some of them are scanned from paper. Some of them we got on DVD, and we have every issue of some of the stuff. And they've been doing amazing work forever,
Yeah.
having access to it is incredible. So.
I was really proud to see that their Orbit magazine was published. I mean, that was a huge amount of work for a volunteer organization, and it really kind of it in its era, it really kind of explained very well with color photos, and it was probably a 20-page magazine every other month or something like that, or quarter, I don't remember.
No, it was like a 80-page glossy full color. I mean,
Was it? Was
I
it?
think it was pretty thick. It seemed like a lot of work for, like you said, a volunteer organization. So, And it didn't
Yeah,
last forever because I mean I don't think it, how could it without unless you had a full-time staff, you know.
right.
Yeah.
But in its era, it really popularized satellite operation, you know, and that was the era when we were still getting help from launch companies that, you know, would throw, you know, the rocket was designed for 1 million pounds, and if the payload was 900,000 pounds, there had to be 100,000 pounds of ballast. So, you know, we were able to get, you know, launch opportunities, especially from the European Space Agency. And that was the era of the phase three satellites, which just never quite made it. One made it to orbit partially, one was blown up in a launch failure, and, you know, et cetera. So it was, but boy, we had the optimism, and we were cutting edge at the time. You know, now microsats are, you know, being done by not grade school classes, but certainly high school classes. So yeah. So let's see, what else? 2025. Oh, so speaking of software-defined radio, another highlight for me was, you know, looking ahead, you know, technological innovation in amateur radio was the emergence of the LIN-HT, the Linux handheld transceiver. And that thing, I firmly believe that it's too good an idea not to happen, not to blossom. It's just going to take somebody, some manufacturer with courage to jump on this project and, you know, just take it forward in a commercial way. It's a complete open source design, and it's just amazing that you can now do full software-defined radio on in a portable form factor. You know, and you can run unmodified GNU radio flow graphs on a portable radio, which blows me away. It's you know, that we now can do SDR in such a power efficient and space efficient and compute efficient manner that, you know, you can put it in a portable form factor. And the folks at the M17 project, there's three developers for this, two software developers and a hardware developer that, you know, put this together. And they came up with the brilliant idea of essentially vampirizing a common portable radio made in China. And they disassembled it, mapped out the, you know, form factor of the one circuit board, all the interface, you know, mapped out all the electrical interfaces. So, you know, you put it back together, put the LIN-HT board back into it with a few of, you know, pirated, or not pirated, but reused components like the volume control and the display, et cetera. And then it, you know, it's a completely different capability than the original, which is just a commodity FM transceiver. So, you know, that seeing that emergence of that is just it. One of my colleagues in the, you know, trying to advise M17 Foundation said, Bruce Perens, K6BP, said, this is the most important project in amateur radio. And I have to agree. It is transformative. And it seems like it's plodding along, and it is plodding along because they don't have any, you know, grant funding, et cetera, but, you know, they're getting regular donations, and it's not a high intensity or high res it's not dependent on a lot of resources. It's just time on the part of the developers. And all three developers are in Europe, which is kind of cool. So it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. And this is, you know, it's true software-defined radio. So they've ported, I think it's, they've got a 2 megabit per second data mode already running on it. It can decode Tetra. It's, of course, does M17.
I don't know what Tetra is.
Tetra is a system, a trunking system, another digital voice that's more popular in like Australia and New Zealand. And I think it's in use in the US in like airports because they wanted something that was unique. And trunking is where you have a big bank of individual frequencies, and it was kind of like pre-cellular, where you would, when you hit the push to talk button, there's a quick exchange between the radio and the base station, and the base station says, okay, switch to frequency 30, and that's available. And then next time you might be using frequency 32 or what. So it's a trunking system to make efficient use of spectrum, which is really tight in Asia and Europe, and less tight in the US. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Tetra is an exotic mode in amateur radio, and they just for fun they decided to see if this software-defined radio could do it, and it can, at least receiving. So another thing I never imagined I would see in 2020, well, I never imagined I would see, let alone in 2025, was I went to Pacificon in October in San Ramon, California, which is in the Bay Area, and there was a amazing exhibit of what the title of the project is Open Dot Space. And if you literally, type that into a browser, you find the project Open, OPEN dot space. And it's a, they're making these little tiles that are individual software-defined radios, antennas for 5 gigahertz. And you can couple these things together, not infinitely, but you can make a probably a 5 foot panel antenna out of them. And they all work together, and it's a phase, it could be a phased array transmitter and receiver at operating at 5 gigahertz. So they're one of the things that they illustrate the potential of is that you can do Earth, Moon, Earth communications at 5 gigahertz using this antenna. And amateur radio has expanded privileges in the 5 gigahertz band to be able to transmit at power. So you could, this is doable. And a phased array antennas are practically magic to me. But it's all math. You have an individual element and you excite it at a certain phase, and then the one next to it you excite at a slightly different phase, and modulation angle. It's just, well, it's the basis for the first time I ever heard of phased array antennas was on the Aegis radars on Navy Aegis destroyers, U.S. Navy Aegis destroyers, and it's just a flat panel, but it has a 120 degree view without any moving parts, and it's amazingly fast and amazingly powerful. And now it's this technology has now drifted down to the point where it's an open source design. Just freaking amazing. And he was at the very first time he showed this off in public was at an amateur radio conference. So technological innovation in amateur radio, baby. So yeah, I mean, and there's dozens of those kinds of developments, maybe not at that scale, but that happened in 2025 that I tried to publicize in zero retries. And it's just constantly amazing that the stuff that blows in. Let's see, what was the other? Oh, so speaking of software-defined radio, another highlight for me was, and it was kind of the genesis of ZRDC 2025, was GNU Radio Conference 2025, which was held in Everett, Washington. And that's a week-long conference on all things GNU radio. And when Tina and I discovered that, I talked Tina into helping to volunteer for it, being only 90 miles from where we live. And we went to the venue to help them out, scope a few things out, because the organizers of GNU RadioCon had never seen the venue. They just looked at it on the internet and said, we need a conference facility of such and such size, at such and such a price, at such and such a date. And that one worked, and they signed it sight unseen. So we went and checked out a few things that you could really do best in person. And we just, we said, hey, this is a really nice facility. And we talked to the venue, and they, the pricing was reasonable, high, but reasonable. So we decided to put ZRDC 2025 on Saturday, September 13th at the exact same venue. And we benefited a little bit from the synergy with, like, the AV didn't have to tear down on Friday evening. So they gave us a big break on the cost of the AV. It was plenty big enough. It was, for all the attendees. Well, you saw the, facility. So
Yeah, it was
anyway,
great.
GNU RadioCon was just a huge highlight. And it was just, I was amazed at the scope of stuff that's going on. And one of the best moments of GRCon for me was somebody said, oh, we're having trouble finding people who have, experience with GNU Radio. Do you know of anybody, that's available that, for us to hire for GNU Radio? And the matter of fact response came back with, well, no, I don't know of anybody who's available because everybody I know who has any experience at all with GNU Radio already has a good job. So boy, if you wanted, it's like back in our day, the funny phrase was plastics. If you wanted a secure job for the rest of your life, get into plastics. Nope. Now it's software-defined radio. So,
Nice.
and
So
what was it?
when are we going to be able to get zero retries into DLARC? We've been talking about this for a long time.
Yes. I am one of my goals was to get it in, get zero retries into Google's Notebook LM, which was a AI tool that was designed early on as a tool for writers like me. So you could throw all your material. Unfortunately, it doesn't ingest websites or even HTML. You have to basically give it PDFs. And I didn't know how to, do that at scale. And it was just a bit of a showstopper there. So I had some time during my vacation or my travel time at the end of the year. It's amazing how productive you can get on a plane when you have internet access and, that's about all you can do. So I started looking at this and I discovered I had no idea Substack, the platform I'm using right now, has an export tool. You can dump everything about your newsletter, including every issue, down into a clean export. And then all you got to do is, then train an AI tool to say, take this, file of the news of a particular newsletter, PDF it at scale. So
And the links the links from the newsletter are real links and not going through
I
Substack.
hope I may that's one of my irritations about Substack, one of my many irritations about Substack. So yes, I hope. Well, but what I hope what sorry. In 2026, it won't be Substack. And to that end, I anticipated that it's not going to be a clean, I won't be able to do a clean conversion. So I may just leave zeroretries.org in place on Substack. There's no penalty, there's no ongoing cost for it. And I was able to negotiate with the good folks at the dot radio domain registrar. They have a program that if you are not a behemoth like a radio station or et cetera, they will give you a very reasonable rate for a dot radio domain registration. So I now have zero retries dot radio, and that's where the 2026 and later version of zero retries will be at. So I may leave it in place to so those links work and maybe make a Herculean project of 4.5 years of weekly issues,
Right.
cleaning them up, once and for all for posterity. It's funny looking back at some of the early ones, this. It's a lot more. I feel like the current Zero Retries is reasonably polished, and the early ones, not so much. So yes, that is haunting in my ear that all this stuff was nearly lost had it not been for DLARC, and that I certainly don't want Zero Retries to get lost if, God forbid, Substack just decides to fold up for some reason.
Right. Well, yeah, it's media companies and publishing, how they never just fold up and take their ball and go home. That's never happened before. So
Yeah.
yeah, you'd have a backup for sure.
Well, something another point of overlap between DLARC and Zero Retries was there was a lot of activity relating to amateur radio and the FCC this year, and you got on it and started archiving. Describe what you do, the ongoing work that you're doing archiving
Well,
FCC
okay,
stuff.
so that's been interesting because with the changes in the government administration this year, I was like, well, let's make sure everything's FCC is backed up as much as possible. And so I was doing the electronic comment system on and getting backing up the some of the comments on some of the topics that were very relevant to amateur radio. And then I was doing the FCC Daily Digests, which since the dawn of time, the FCC kind of does a little newsletter thing every day about like what happened, what they worked on, what passed, what meetings happened and things. And I just wanted that all backed up. And I did it up until I think it was like February. I'd have to check, but like February or March of 2025, and got that all done. And then the government shut down for a while. And when it came back, the FC it was hard getting that information. The FCC's website was they did a nice job of trying to prevent malicious downloaders and people from setting up bots to just whatever download everything for whatever reason. And so I managed to get it. It was a challenge. And then when they came back, it was really a challenge. I mean, they just like they put up more walls. They have made my life difficult in continuing to archive their work. So I'm not sure why, really. Why a government website would make it extra difficult to use their information, but they have done that. So I'm glad I got what I got, and if I'm going to go back and get more, it's going to be a Herculean effort to climb, learn to climb that a new kind of wall, but
Well, I really appreciate that you grabbed all of the comments, that for amateur radio, I don't remember what to call them, the activity regarding relating to amateur radio, and there were several this year
Right.
or last year.
Let's
There
see if
was
I.
the 902 to 928 silliness. There was AST Space Mobile, deciding that they wanted a downlink,
Oh
and
yeah, that bandwidth should be ours now. Let's take that away from everybody, and yeah, we want that for our business. And let's see, there was 25133, delete, delete, delete. That was a
oh,
big
yeah.
one. People had all sorts of comments about about what should be removed from FCC rules, and people had all sorts of opinions, and there are things that should be removed from the ham radio rules for sure. They didn't remove any of the important stuff that that I think should be deleted, like the rate limits and things. But you know. It,
Well, that's an interesting carry forward that we're really handicapped now in the US because of the VHF UHF symbol rate limits, which were eliminated from the HF bands, but not the VHF UHF bands. And there's some interpretation to be done yet. So I've had some correspondence that says basically that because the FCC asked the question at the end of, I don't remember what the VHF work about, they asked about VHF UHF, that there's some people that imply that that means that the FCC will go back and think about it, and because there was a phrase in their further notice of proposed rulemaking, which I haven't yet heard a good definition of. And but then there were other people, and including one person who worked at the FCC who talked to me, you know, didn't want to be on the record, is who said basically this, the fact that the FCC asked for comments was completely pro forma, until somebody petitions the FCC, you know, nothing could possibly happen, you know, further. So using the language in delete, 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 if we are very careful about, you know, what we ask for, in that we say, we propose delete this phrase, and all of a sudden the symbol rate limitations go away. Then delete these phrases, and all of a sudden the bandwidth limits in VHF UHF go away. And it's no new rules, no, you know, no changes per se, other than just excising, surgically excising these particular phrases. And all of a sudden we can start doing the fun stuff like is happening in Europe now with these wonderful new packet radios by a company called Localino in Germany that now let us do real data rates, you know, 1 megabit per second, as long as we have enough bandwidth available, even in 2 meters and, you know, and 440. So, and that is a project for me, you know, not an immediate one. I've got other mechanical stuff like getting zero retries replatformed, and then this notebook LM stuff. But yeah, that is a, if nobody else is going to do it, you know, I like charging into projects where, well, it can't hurt because nobody else is doing anything. It's like a geo satellite for North America, for the Americas, you know. It's like, well, AMSAT's missing in action, and this AMSAT CA that got formed supposedly to do this isn't doing anything, so why not raise a ruckus? And fortunately I've got some co-conspirators in this who've come to the same conclusions as, well, it can't hurt to raise a ruckus, and it can't hurt to start contacting these. But there's a company, I did a story in Zero Retries in 2024 about a geo satellite. It was called a micro geo, which was a new concept for me. I thought if you were going to put something in geo orbit, it had to be big and strong and, you know, long duration. But no, this company did a targeted geo satellite for Alaska, and it was done completely under contract. You know, Alaska sent them money. All of a sudden, the satellite shows up. A few months later, they handled the construction, the integration, the launch, the commissioning, and then turned it over to Alaska, you know, for use in Alaska. You know, so why can't amateur radio do that? And in fact, there's been some movement about that. ARDC has said that one of their new focuses, or their refined focuses going forward, is going to be space activity, amateur radio. And so there's at least the possibility of being able to do something like that. But I keep looking at AMSAT and can't find any interest in doing so. And I queried AMSAT CA, and they said, well, maybe we'll get involved if somebody else does. And of all people, Europe wants to help do something in North in the Americas because Canada is a member of the European Space Agency. So, yeah, there's an infinite number of ways to occupy my time, related to Zero Reach. I said, it's like the longer I go, the more interesting things I uncover. And so, and I share it with the Zero Reach Eyes audience. And, oh, that was another thing that came forward late in 2025 was, besides the YouTube channel, was I finally pulled the trigger on a Zero Reach Eyes email list, which is my version of social media. I know that Discord is the more popular way to, create a interactive community, but it just is too fast-paced and ephemeral for me, the way I work. So an email list is much better for me, and I finally pulled the trigger, and that's been satisfying to see that take off. And I'm making very liberal use of hashtags, and I'll ask a question, and boom, the audience starts replying. And I turned off commenting in Substack and just redirected everything to the email list, and that seems to be working pretty well.
Nice. Yeah, I've enjoyed lurking on the list, and I agree with you. Some people love Discord. I bless them, but it just doesn't. I don't. I like that the email comes to me. I can browse it when I want to, and it doesn't scroll away unless I want it to.
Yes.
And then I can reference it later. Something on Discord, can. Where was that thing that I read 6 months ago? You're never going to find it, but in email you can, So anyway, I've enjoyed lurking on that, and so yeah, well done.
Thanks. And then one last thing that should be mentioned for 2025 was the IP400 network project that I helped birth in early 2025, and by the end of 2025, I have no idea what's going on. I was the main developer, and I had a significant difference of opinion about, just basically the promotion of the project, and he just kind of jerked the rug out from under me, and decided to go his own way. And since a big presentation at ZRDC in September, I have not seen any progress reports about at all about it. I have no idea what's going on with it. So, I mean, and that's a real shame because I mentioned this in some discussions that Meshtastic, in operating an unlicensed spectrum, no requirement for an amateur radio license, obviously, is just growing by leaps and bounds. And now there's like four different variants of being able to do mesh networking for casual chat in unlicensed spectrum using Meshtastic and LoRa at very low cost, very low barrier to entry. Lots of fun, lots of community support, and amateur radio really doesn't have anything to compete with that. No reason to, advance and get your amateur radio license and then be able to do even more cool stuff. IP400 would have been that had it, continued on the trajectory that we had agreed upon early on, and then it kind of fell apart. So I have no idea what's going on with that, and that's to my profound disappointment. But that kind of stuff happens. There were organizations that I helped create that just have petered out. I can help, I can, but I can't carry the ball for
Sure, you
them.
got to rely on other people, and sometimes that doesn't work out, but nothing lasts
Yeah.
forever, and you hope for the best and put the
Yep.
ideas out
Agreed.
there, Cross your fingers.
Yeah. And let's see, looking at my one last quick glance at my notes. Well, minor milestones, ARD or ZRD zero retries hit 3,400 email subscribers, which is the only hard metric I have available to me. There's hundreds more that follow via social media, and pass along an RSS and followers on Substack, which can't be measured. It's just that's yet another annoying fact feature of Substack. So 3,400, and in 2025 it was the fifth year, it began the fifth year of publication zero retries. And that was, so it's no, other than a little bit of fumbling towards the end of the year because I had to do some unexpected travel and it didn't plan very well, towards the end of the year. So I'm taking a break until the third Friday of January will be the first issue of Zero Retries in 2026. And so I'm reserving the rest, the 10 days or so to get the new platform up and running.
Great. Oh, that, I guess that means third, first, so I don't need to have a my article to you on the ninth like usual, right?
Nope, you got a week off.
Okay. All right. I'll move that to the next week. Okay.
And then the last item is that AI really started to get useful, not just in amateur radio, but be a useful adjunct to some of the activity that I do. I'm increasingly, well, the first few times I tried using AI, I it was useless answers that were obviously bad. Like I asked, what one memorable query was, I asked for the five biggest nations, the five biggest populations of amateur radio by country. And so I got is, the usual, US, Japan, or actually Japan was number one at that on that list. Then it was the US and blah blah blah. And I said, I laughed out loud, and I said, and I asked it, well, what about China? And it gave me some weasel word excuse why it had not included China, in the population. And China has, a huge population of amateur radio operators. You
Sure.
just don't hear much about them because largely they don't interact with the rest of the world. It's an it's entirely a internal, almost entirely an internal hobby in China. But yeah, a huge number of Chinese amateur radio operators. So by the end, I'm getting, I'm being able, I guess maybe I've learned to tailor my queries better, focus
It's
them.
such a a mix. I mean, sometimes what you can get out of AI is absolutely incredible and super useful and time saving, and sometimes it's just absolute garbage.
Yes.
Garbage. Yes, I mean I like it when when I ask for it, like if I want to use Notebook LM, which you mentioned before. Great. It's a tool I have there. Or if I want to use the Chat GPT API in order to feed something from DLARC into it and get a quick summary that I can use. Beautiful. If I ask for it, great. But when I don't ask for it and it more and more of these companies are just like trying to give it to you, the AI, whether you want or not. For instance, you can do Google and it gives you those AI summaries. First of all, as a person who publishes websites and allegedly makes money off those websites, every time one of those AI summary comes up, that's someone who is not going to visit a website. If they read that summary, it's right there on the page. They don't need to click through in order to, So but then the hallucinations are wild, just wild. Just yesterday, I was trying to find an old tweet of mine. And I search for my last name and Y2K. Savitz Y2K. So I was trying to, how did I phrase something one time? And I got a whole long AI instant Google summary about Stuart Savitz, who was a pioneer in researching the Y2K bug. And it's like, Stuart Savitz does not exist. Has never existed. And it was this very convincing hallucination, just BS, that I don't know how or if that problem is going to be solved. But how do you trust anything? If a buddy who lies to you 40% of the time, how do you ever trust that buddy?
Yeah, exactly. So, but the cool one of the cooler developments that happened was we talked. There was a talk at ZRDC 2025 by Hunter Inman, who was frustrated. It was a new ham, and he was frustrated at participating in nets, on VHF UHF repeaters, and he had trouble, copying call signs and things, and keeping track of things. And it occurred to him that, oh, maybe I could, do something with AI about this. And he created what he called the trans. Oh, I'm going to butcher this name. Transcribers. Transcription node or something like that.
I remember him talking about that.
Yeah, and what was astonishing was that he not only he implemented this, but it was running locally on, a Raspberry Pi, and it did make use of the internet, but purely in an accessory capacity. Like he would, when it parsed out a call sign, it would query the call sign on QRZ because it had an API, and then, to validate that it had parsed the call sign correctly. But that capability, running locally in amateur radio, for implementation, that was really cool. And speaking of internet and amateur radio, one last development that I was really happy to see in 2025 was that the what I had been calling the 44NET Virtual Private Network VPN officially debuted and is now in production. It is now called 44NET Connect, and it is a virtual private network for amateur radio use that will allocate you a block of IPv4 static addresses for your whatever use you want to do, as long as it's amateur radio related and you adhere to a few basic terms of service. You can't use it commercially. But, like for example, I'm talking on Starlink, which uses carrier grade network address translation, which means essentially it's impossible to come back into my system or my network from the internet. If I'm going to have services that I want accessible, I have to expose them back up through Starlink onto a server somewhere, and then the server talks. I'm constantly basically maintaining the connection from my side. So that is exactly what 44NET Connect is designed to do. And there's a heck of a lot of us amateur radio operators, especially in rural areas, that are using Starlink now and CGNet, and 44NET Connect is an absolute godsend. It's just fantastic resource. That means, oh, and then there was a development that I just found out about is Let's Encrypt, which offers free HTTPS certificates. Now lets you use them with just an IP address. It doesn't have to be associated with a domain name. So I can advertise my 44NET IPv4 address, for accessing a particular service online and coming in from the internet. Your browser won't complain because I can get this free Let's Encrypt certificate associated with it. So, now I can't I'm not supposed to be using encryption if it's going over RF on amateur radio because of the restrictions there. But it's I don't know how it's been with you, but I have to go, through like three layers of hoops to be able to use an HTTP web server, on my current browser. It just, every update of Mac OS or iOS makes that a little bit harder, because they really don't want you to fall into, nasty stuff. And so
Which makes sense for 99% of the population, but sometimes when you're a geek and you know what you're doing, you do need to or want to go to an unsecured HTTP website and have it all be out there and exposed, and it doesn't matter, you know.
Well, like a perfect example is, a lot of older equipment that provide you with a web interface, to be able to manage it, they had no concept of, secure HTTP. So,
Absolutely.
and then trying to use it on a modern browser is, oh my gosh, if of course, you can query AI and, find out how to, put a permanent exemption for one particular IP address. That, this dynamic, that's really frustrating. So anyway, that was 44.net Connect was another welcome development in 2025.
Nice.
And yeah, brought to you by the fantastic people at Amateur Radio Digital Communications, which provides, DLARC and many other worthy projects in amateur radio with grant funding, to do interesting things in amateur radio. So, and they're going strong in 2026, and with this particular project, 44.net Connect, consumed an awful lot of their time and resources in 2025, and now that they've gotten this launched, they're going to be doing a lot of interesting stuff. One interesting thing, kind of relating to both of what we follow, is that in 2025 they will be they're spinning up a new volunteer
In
team
2026.
sorry,
2026.
you're right. In 2026 they're spinning up a brand new team called the Grants Communications Team, which will close which the goal of which is to close the loop on all of the grants that they funded to date with a at least a summary, if not a full report, on every grant that they've provided. So how did it end up? How did things go? What were the lessons learned, et cetera? And they've done some of this. There's a few projects that I followed that I really wanted some updates, and they did those on an exceptional basis, but they made the point very reasonably when I complained about this, that we've got a few other higher priority projects to do before this, and that was a point well taken. So I'm glad to see in 2026 that they will be doing this, and that's more transparency, more knowledge into being available in amateur radio. So the very last item I had was that in this last very last issue of Zero Retries for 2025, there is a new book that is or there will be a new book by ARRL, Digital Amateur Radio Networking. I think that's the right title. And I kind of broke this story into public in Zero Retries because a Zero Retries reader forwarded this to me, and the ARRL is taking an interesting approach for this book, in publicizing it to clubs, and they're offering to let clubs essentially subsidize the book by getting a listing of their club and individual amateur radio operators listed in the book, kind of like a almost like a Patreon,
Kickstarter
function.
sort of thing.
Yeah, kind of, but and it's going to go straight into the the production cost of this book. So not only is they're finally the ARRL is finally getting back in the data communications, game, the last version of this book or the predecessor of this book was last published in 2016. So you know th I, that was really welcome news, and I got in touch with the person who was managing that project, and it's looking really good. This book will be interesting, and finally something interesting to purchase when I, a book, an interesting book to purchase when I go to HRO in Portland and check in with you and my daughter. So that'll be cool, and that's coming out hopefully in the first quarter or so of 2026.
Excellent.
That was a really welcome development. So, and more fodder for me to get going on my book. So that, yeah, after I get Zero Reach Eyes replatformed, I get it exported into Notebook LM, and DLARC book is project 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Okay. Holding you to it.
And as you pointed out from your book writing experiences, I think it was a pretty memorable quote. It went something like, "Have you ever written a book?" I said, "No." He says, "Well, writing a book sucks, but having written a book is fun."
Yes, a book is a great thing to have written. Yes.
Yes. So, yeah.
Yes,
So
indeed.
anyway.
Well, I look forward to reading the book after you have written yours.
Yeah, so that's, there are all kinds of interesting projects in 2026. So I'm looking forward to 2026, and just kind of get better at this, a month at a time, and getting processes streamlined. And I'm actually looking, if I get all of Zero Retries ported into Notebook LM, oh, I am looking forward to great things. It'll be like having an assistant, so having
Excellent.
all that stuff easily accessible.
Cool.
Wow. We just ran over an hour.
Yeah.
Fun talking to you, Kay.
A tight 65 minutes. This has been Store and Forward, your podcast about the past and future of amateur radio. I am Kay Savitz, K6KJN. I am the curator of the Digital Library of Amateur Radio and Communications, which is your free online amateur radio library. Please check it out at archive.org/details/DLARC. I guarantee you'll find something interesting that to learn about or do or contribute. And you are Steve.
I'm Steve Stroh, NHGNJ, and I'm editor of the Zero Retries newsletter. And the new domain that's a little easier to say is zeroretries.radio. And right now that redirects to the Substack version of the newsletter, but later in January 2026, it will redirect to the new version of Zero Retries newsletter. So again, Zero Retries, ZeroTries. That radio.
Excellent. It'd make me update
Yep.
Chiron. Make it work for me. All right. Well, I'm glad we got back
Wow,
to
cool.
doing this. And let's do it. Let's make
Yes.
ham radio great in 2026.
Amen. Thanks, Kay.
Thanks.
7-3.
7-3.